One of the overarching themes of the entire Bible is this exodus, this journey, this pilgrimage to the kingdom of God. And it dominates our Christian spirituality, our understanding of who we are in relationship to God. So this pilgrimage is also kind of characterized as a return. So it originates in them living in the land of Israel, which was later going to be called that, and then they went down to Egypt because of a famine, and there they became enslaved, and they lived in bitter poverty and oppression. And then God hears their cry of distress, hears their prayers, sends Moses to actively save them, to rescue them from that slavery, that darkness, that death. And then they go through kind of a deeper, more dangerous death by going down into the Red Sea and surviving that journey and coming out on the other side still alive. We would look back on that and call that sort of a baptismal experience. And then 40 years wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land and being formed by God in the process of that. And 40 years is a lifetime. So in other words, this pilgrimage lasts our whole life. And one of the things we have to be prepared for the long haul. This is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a life journey. And so we have to kind of pace ourselves, and we have to be patient with ourselves in the same way that God is patient with us. Because many of us can look back over a large number of years and see the progress, but you can't see the progress in 2 years. It's just not enough time. The whole human race is on this pilgrimage journey to the kingdom, which is also a return. And so that first reading we had this morning from Jeremiah is the first of many that we're going to hear in the coming weeks, because we're coming up to the end of the year and the beginning of Advent, and where this return from exile from the prophet Isaiah is a big theme. And so we already begin that today with this reading from Jeremiah. And so the prophets saw the return from exile back to Israel as a new exodus. In other words, what the Bible is saying is that it's all one big journey. Is it from Egypt to Israel? Is it from Babylon to Israel? Is it even Israel? The promised land turns out not to even be a country. It turns out to be a way of life, a way of being. The Greek basileia tou theou, we translate often the kingdom of God, as if that were a place. But really what it translates literally into is God reigning. In other words, this is how God acts. This is how God rules. Not so much in a place, but in an attitude, in a relationship. This is the way God rules over us. This is the way we are God's servants. This is the way we are the beneficiaries of God's love. This is the way we return that love in faith and hope. That's the God reigning. That's what we're called to. Another thing that the Bible suggests over and over again is that there was an original unity that we characterize by Genesis, the description of the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is a metaphorical story that says that everything began in God and with God. And so in the garden, Adam and Eve and all of creation are in absolute harmony. There's no enmity between them and creation. There's no enmity between them and God. Everything is one. And then sin enters in, and there's the departure, the alienation, the separation from that original unity into division. And right away, Adam and Eve start blaming each other. She gave me the apple, you know. they're alienated not just from God, but from one another. And they're alienated from the serpent who was speaking to them and on friendly terms. They weren't afraid of the snake until sin, and then there's alienation. And then the Tower of Babel story, also from Genesis, about the separation of the languages and the races, and so that this disunity just spreads and spreads like a plague. But again, the prophets talk about a return. The return from exile, the return from alienation, and everything that that exile symbolizes. The return to God. And so we are swept up into that journey. We are one of the millions of people in that great throng of God's people who are returning to God. And they are returning specifically in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we get to that gospel. This gospel is a kind of a conversion story. Bartimaeus is blind. And of course, blindness in the gospels, what is the cause of his blindness? What is this blindness really saying? Is it sin? Is it a darkness of spirit? Is it obstinance, refusal to accept the grace that's being presented? I mean, you know, we can each tell our own story of our blindness. But he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Well, Son of David was a messianic term. In other words, this guy is coming to faith. He already is able to call out Jesus as the Son of David. And then secondly, he calls him Master, which is to say Lord. It's a conversion story. And his blindness drops away and he can see. And Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you. Now go your way." But he doesn't go on his own way. The story ends by saying he followed Jesus on his way. And in the next passages, following upon that one, we begin the passion narrative in the Gospel of Mark. In other words, he followed him to Jerusalem to death. So what is it about this return that has specifically to do with death? Conversion is to recognize the presence in my life, in my midst, of the dying one, of the one who is returning and assuming everything to himself to give it back to the Father so that God may be all in all. And yet somehow this has to do with my dying, that my sharing in his death. Jesus, in his humanity, comes to recognize that this return to God, which is somehow involved in his person, is going to be a return through death. It's paschal, like the Passover lamb. It's the passing over from death to life. But you have to go through the death to get to the life. You have to go through the death of the font to get to the living bread of the altar. And every time we baptize someone, we start outside, and then we have a little procession to the font, and then we have another procession to the altar, because it symbolizes, ritualizes that journey that this child is going to be on for this child's whole life. But it also symbolizes the journey, the return of the entire human race, all beautifully put together in a baptismal ritual. It's so significant. And every time we gather at the altar for Eucharist, we always go through the font to get here. We sign ourselves in that font every time we enter this church. Because we have to be owning over and over again that this has to be the death of my self, my ego. It has to be the death of my fears, all the things that would keep me, blind me from God. blind me from my fellow human beings, blind me from God's creation, blind me from the kingdom. I have to let all that drop away like the scales of this man's eyes so that then I can see, so that then I can participate already in the kingdom of God.